我还与你们同住的时候，已将这些话对你们说了。但保惠师，就是父因我的名所要差来的圣灵，他要将一切的事指教你们，并且要叫你们想起我对你们所说的一切话。我留下平安给你们，我将我的平安赐给你们，我所赐的不像世人所赐的，你们心里不要忧愁，也不要胆怯。Now I'll read the worship leader part, and the congregation will read the congregation part. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you.I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you.Let us continue with hymns of praise. Now let us bow our head to pray. Lord, we will exalt your name. The Lord we believe is from heaven. The Lord who is crucified on the cross and raised 3 days later. Because of our sin, you saved us. Your body broke on the cross, and your blood on the cross. Redeem us so that we can come to our Heavenly Father and call you Abba Father. Lord, we should honor the name of Christian. We should praise you every day, sing to you every day, and worship you every Sunday morning. May your Holy Spirit work in us, and your angels and your heavenly army be with us. So guard our hearts and our mind, so that we can worship you together. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now it's our time for scripture reading. It's from Hebrews chapter 13. There are only four verses. Let us read together. Let us read together Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Time for blessing of children. Now it's time for Pastor Fong's sermon time. The title is Love Resides on Mountains and in Rivers. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Time is flying. Today is the last Sunday of June, and half year has passed. We thank the Lord for blessing every one of us, and I believe He will lead us continually. Many years ago in Hong Kong, there was a very popular Cantonese song called Love Resides on Mountains and in Rivers. And a few days ago, I saw a young band performing live on the internet. When the male lead singer said, "Love resides on mountains and in rivers," then the female song leader followed and said, "Your applause cheers me up." In Chinese, the two sentences rhyme with each other. It's actually a funny way to ask for applause. Today's topic is Love Resides on Mountains and in Rivers. Let's go on with Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. I'll read it to you. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality. Here it talks about keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. We all remember that the Christians at that time were under persecutions. And they are facing great pressures. That is why the author of Hebrews constantly reinforced, on one hand, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and on the other hand, their love to one another. Then, how can we express the love for one another? That is, do not forget to receive strangers with love. Just think about it. 2,000 years ago, when Paul traveled and preached, he mostly stayed with local brothers and sisters, partly because they were not many in those days, and even if there was, it was very expensive for not only Paul, but also brothers and sisters who had to visit churches in different cities, all have to deal with the problem of housing and food. So for Christians at that time, the willingness to open their house to receive brothers and sisters is a natural way to express love. And chapter 13 verse 2 reminds us that do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Maybe the author just think about he probably remembered what happened in Genesis chapter 18. Once Abraham received two strangers with love, and later he found out that the two strangers were actually angels. Because Abraham received the two strangers with love. Later, he was also blessed by God. That's why here it says, some have entertained angels without knowing it. So is it today. When you open your house to receive brothers and sisters, maybe God will tell you the very thing you need to know through them. God may give you an answer you're waiting for through them. Because God loves you so much, He will deliver His message through His amazing ways. I always encourage brothers and sisters, and also remind myself, we are living in a corrupt world. So we need to have wisdom when dealing with people. On one hand, we need to be loving. On the other hand, we have to be wise. We should have both of these virtues at the same time. Now let's move on to verse 3. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Here, the author uses the word remember to mention two groups of people, those in prison and those who are mistreated. So how exactly is a way to remember? That is, we remember those in prison as if we are together with them in prison. If you remember what the Lord Jesus taught, you will know that weep with those who weep. It means that we have to put ourselves in other people's shoes, especially in that very difficult time. We care about their feeling to the extent that we are also suffering with them. Because we are so used to our comfort zone. Like in North America, we have comfortable life, though the price inflate a lot so much, but we can still handle our life. But we need to remember those who are in worst need. But at that time, when the author lived, a lot of Christians were persecuted. That is why the author remind all brothers and sisters to remember those who are mistreated, who are persecuted. These are the true love expressed by faith in our life under persecution. And persecution is not always bad. So from this aspect, you will know that we may be built, we may have stronger faith in the Lord through persecution. At this time, though our sister and her family in Northern Thailand encountered huge difficulties, every one of us financially, generously, to help her go through. We can see that love resides on mountains and in rivers, because the Lord is in heaven and on earth. It's true that the Lord's great love has motivated us to care for brothers and sisters in need. Even though they are living far away on the mountain of northern Thailand, today there are still many nameless missionaries all over the world, in the jungles of Africa, in the backlands of the desert, trying to save more souls to the name of the Lord. They must have encountered various difficulties, but thank God and the Holy Spirit for reminding us that love resides on mountains and in rivers. The Lord is in heaven and on earth. Last month, our special donation to Wendy had been sent to her, and it must have helped her a lot. So may the Lord remember our brothers and sisters' love for Wendy. Our brothers and sisters are wonderful because not only do you serve the Lord faithfully and earnestly, but your spontaneous pouring of love is shown every so I'm really proud of you. Though we don't have a lot of people in our church, we are a united body and we are a strong church. We are confident that our church will be continually blessed by the Lord Jesus because we do not merely listen to the words, but we are willing to do what it says. If you agree, please say amen. Let's continue with chapter 13, verse 4. It says, we can read together actually. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Here the author switched to another topic, which is marriage. Why did the author specifically raise the issue of Christian marriage here? That's probably because back then, there might be some bad things happening in the society, especially some heresies and cults who advocated lust. So the social morality at that time was so corrupt. And the author specially emphasized that marriage between a couple must be holy, and marriage should be honored by all. Therefore, no matter you are a pastor, elder, deacon, normal believer, or just a seeker, everyone should respect marriage. Do you know why? Because the institution of marriage was established by God, who created the first man, Adam, and for Adam, the first woman, Eve. So God is not only the creator, but also the marriage officiant. Do you know how happy God was when he brought Eve to Adam? Adam must be very happy when he saw Eve. And God must be very happy when he brought Eve to Adam. Everyone knows the feeling of loneliness. Before Eve was created, Adam was so lonely. But after God brought Eve to Adam. From that time on, Adam and Eve had a companion and supported each other. How joyful it is. That is why everyone should honor marriage. If today someone thinks infidelity in marriage is okay, then he should be prepared and wait for God's judgment. The truth is very simple. So, as you can see in the world, what is happening around you, I don't have to say much about this. Do you remember the 10 commandments God gave through Moses? Let us review Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Let us read together. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Notice that you shall not covet your neighbor's wife agrees perfectly with Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, which says marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. And you can see that the Old Testament and the New Testament are saying the same thing. It's a pity that people today don't seem to take these things seriously, especially in a world led by the message that being rich is everything. Or many people may pursue good looking. It seems that everyone's focus is on the outside, the appearance, jewelry, and clothes. Once I saw a picture of a young lady posted on Facebook who makes a cute expression with her hand supporting her face. It looks really cute. I didn't get the full point of the photo until I read the comments below. It turned out that the lady not only wanted to show off her beauty, but also wanted to show off the famous watch she was wearing on her wrist. That's why she used her hand to support his face. Then she can show off her famous watch. Well, that's when it dawned on me. People like me are really hindsight. I don't really know what's going on without someone pointing it out for me. A beautiful woman and a branded name watch must attract a lot of men. But don't get me wrong, I have no problem with someone who wants to show her beauty or who wants to show his power or special personality. The question is, what is the foundation that the value system of many people today are based on? This is a question worth thinking about. especially our view on marriage, is of vital importance. If we are over-influenced by too many trends of the world, if Christians also value beauty, mansion, fancy cars, and titles, then we are no different from non-believers. Then we are no different from non-believers. Shouldn't our Christian's marriage be based on biblical truth? The most important thing is, what does God think of the institution of marriage? Last month, while I was walking through our neighborhood one morning, I suddenly saw a rainbow flag hanging outside one of the houses. Let us take a look at this photo. I've been living in our neighborhood for over 5 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen a rainbow flag, also known as LGBTQ pride flag. What does this mean? As God's children, what reactions should we have on this? It doesn't matter what you think or what she thinks. What really matters is what God thinks. All we can do is to pray for them. This is actually just the tip of the iceberg. Let's move on to the next picture. This is a news picture about a middle school. The school's president takes a lead to support the ideas and practice of LGBTQ. Do you know how many teachers are there in the school? And do you know how many students are in this school? What kind of people will they be taught to be in the future? Maybe in 3 to 5 years, few people will dare to say the truth. Do you remember the two prosperous cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? In the Old Testament, what did God do to these two cities? Wasn't the ending very miserable? Now that we are children of God today, as children of the Holy God today, we should do what God says. It's as simple as that. I remember a brother once said, don't think the truth in the Bible is too complicated to understand. Even an old lady in a very rural village will be able to understand the truth of the Bible. So many people are just arguing about the truth in the Bible and without humble themselves to understand the true meaning of God's word. So there is a great crisis in the world. We need to be alert. Thank God that even in this wicked and corrupt age, God has raised up many mighty warriors to fight against Satan's evil according to biblical truth. Jesus raised those brave soldiers of Christ to become a powerful force in Congress, in education, in the mass media, in culture and arts, in high-tech fields, in medicine, in law, etc. They have been given the spiritual eyes to see through Satan's evil agenda. So they unite naturally to form a powerful force to crush Satan's schemes. Thank you and praise the Lord. This is a spiritual battle we must win. Because if history is any indication, evil never overcomes good. Let us see this together. If history is any indication, evil never overcomes good. There are two things we can do, actually. First, pray more and pray earnestly. So, you can pray anytime, anywhere. Pray for your children, for your job, for our church, for our children, for our youth, for our deacons, for our country. And pray for your family and friends. So prayer never will be too much. I'm so worried that today a lot of Christians pray barely pray. The second thing, make an impact. It can influence your friends and family. Care for them and invite them to your cell group so that you can do more. Don't be afraid to invite them to our church or your cell group. These are the two things we can do. Ever said many times, don't be a every tower Christian. Don't be a every tower Christian. Now is the time to rise up and forge ahead bravely in the Lord Jesus today. Today is the time we should join the army of Christ and be the good soldiers. We believe that we will gain victory for sure through the Lord Jesus. Christians all over the world all read the Bible. Since the Bible is God's word, it shows God's authority, God's power. If you do not obey God's word, no matter who you are, you are not a real Christian. If you doubt about the Bible, I will only pray for you. Since the Bible is God's word, Christian outlook on life, values, and marriage should be based on God's word. Do you want to be blessed by God? It's very simple. There are actually only two things to do. First, be willing to obey 100% God's word. Do whatever God says. It's not that difficult, actually. Second, exalt forever the cross of Jesus Christ. Only these two things, you can do it. If you are willing, any Christian can do it. And you will receive God's blessings for sure. As for those who do not obey God's word, who were unwilling to repent and persisted in their own ways, God's judgment will surely come upon them. Thank God, because God is not only the God of love and grace, but also the God of justice and judgment. He will judge all the nations in His own timing and in His own way. Now let's move on to chapter 13, verse 5. It says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" The author said, keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why did the author jump from the topic of marriage to money? It's probable that because lust and money have been inseparable throughout history. And lust and money have been inseparable throughout history. Someone puts it well, the poor don't even have enough to eat. They can't think about anything but food. The rich, on the contrary, without special caution, may think about lust, since their basic needs for food and shelter have been met. Again, don't get me wrong. Being rich is not a bad thing, but a good thing. Really good thing. We all know that Abraham was blessed by God with great wealth. He had a lot of cattle and sheep and a lot of servants and maids in his house. So being rich is a good thing. Don't have a misunderstanding about money. The Bible doesn't say that being rich is bad. Though being rich is good, the related question is, how will you use your wealth? Think it over. In addition to improving our own lives, should we also give our money to God's kingdom? Another guy we are familiar with in the Bible is Job. After Job went through his ordeal, we see how God blessed him greatly, including giving him great wealth. So after these examples, we should have a correct view of wealth. And many wealthy Christians today give generously to the church. They are willing to give generously to the kingdom of God so that the money can be used to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and more people will be led to salvation. May God remember those who were willing to give possessions to the Lord Jesus. The value of money depends on where it is spent. I'll say it again. He who invests in the eternal kingdom is truly wise. Because the Bible tells us that everything on the earth will pass away. So he who invests in the eternal kingdom is truly wise. Let's go on to the second half of the of verse 5, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It shows us that the Lord Jesus is our shepherd forever. Even if one of the 100 sheep goes astray and get lost, the Lord Jesus would immediately get up and find the lost sheep, because he will never forsake us. Sometimes when our faith gets weak, Jesus will find ways to strengthen us and bring us back to the right path, because he promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. Thank God that no matter what happens, we are his people, so he will never give up on us. Is it true that love resides on mountains and in rivers, and the Lord is in heaven and on earth? So what kind of attitude should we hold to face all kinds of pressure? And in verse 6 it says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? So the author are actually encouraging those who are under persecution that we can declare that the Lord Jesus is my helper and I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord will watch over us. We may suffer sometimes, but the inside of us will not be afraid. So we can see that there are four key points between our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Company, warmth, growth, perseverance. Company, warmth, growth, perseverance. The first one, company, means that the Lord is God of Emmanuel. He is always be with us in every moment of our life and gave us strength and courage. That's our Lord. The second warmth means that the Lord is our closest friend. His presence and his words naturally warm our hearts and add our wisdom to experience his amazing grace. There is nothing in this world more precious than the warmth that the Lord gives us. There is nothing that can compare with this. I got a letter from my daughter just before Father's Day. It's a handwriting letter. And her letter is very precious to me. She says her greatest blessing is that I am a father who led her deeper into the grace of God. It means that I helped her to experience God more. Actually, she herself also has the willingness to pursue biblical truth. As a result, my daughter has experienced more of God's wonderful help. Her faith in the Lord is strengthened. In the same way, my son also fears the Lord. Therefore, all these really warm my heart. I believe many parents may have had similar experience. If your child is very sweet, your heart may often feel the warmth they bring. though it's not some material things, and no material things can be compared with this kind of feeling. Thanks, the Lord, because He is our closest friend, who always comforts and warms our hearts. The third is growth. The spiritual life of a Christian often grows in the face of difficulties and pressures. If I may say so, it's probably impossible for a Christian to get mature just sitting on the chair, and it's also hard for a Christian to grow up without serving others. Just think about it. How can olive oil be extracted from olives without being pressed? There's no way. We all know that olive oil is very healthy. It is a result of many olives being pressed. The message of broken life is rarely heard on church podium today. On the contrary, message of prosperity theology often attracts many believers. In fact, it's necessary to break the old self. If we are still stubbornly stuck in the old self and the flesh, our spiritual growth would be negative. In other words, our spiritual life is not to advance but to retreat. Thanks the Lord that I can share on Facebook a lot of positive energy. Many friends accept positive energies and appreciate them and are willing to help promote them because positive energy brings hope, because positive energy encourages them. And today, as the children of the Most High, it's our responsibility to do so. So we should not be afraid of difficulties and hardships from the outside. Do not spend your time worrying this and that. Your worry won't help. So as a Christian, be a positive Christian. If God doesn't allow, you will not die. If you don't understand this truth, I really have to put a question mark on your face. So, What is the use of reading Bible? How miserable if, as a Christian, we just worry as a non-believer would do. You can think about Daniel and his three friends. How did they deal with oppression or persecution? In their age, because of the perseverance and the faith of Daniel and his three friends in God, they experienced God's presence all the time and they grew very strong in their faith. It's really a good example for us. So persecution and oppression is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it helps us grow stronger in our faith to the Lord. The fourth one is perseverance. Let's read together Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We notice that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Simply put, to stick it out. Just like the marathon runners, you need to stay the course if you want to finish the race. Similarly, today, all of us Christians are running in the heavenly race. You and me and every one of us shall stick to it. Do you get tired when you run? Do you sweat? I'm sure it will. We will get tired. We will sweat. But we should persevere. The motivation is that when we think of the cross of Jesus Christ, we are reminded that we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and that we belong to Him forever. Don't forget our motivation. All the Christians all over the world are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We belong to Him forever. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So Jesus Christ promised that He will never forsake us. With that being the case, we should follow the Lord till the end. And one day we will give our account to the Lord. I hope that you will joyfully come to the Lord on that day. Our enemy Satan has been doing everything possible to stop us. The devil is very cunning and crafty because he tries to slowly weaken our faith. He wants our eyes to see the splendor of the world, and he wants our hearts to be occupied by enjoying material things. If we don't stick to God's way, it's easy for us to stumble. If you ask me, what should we do? Of course, we should rely on the Lord. If you cannot do it, you can call on the name of the Lord. You should live out the truth you have learned in every day, in everyday life, in daily life. Because we can't do it, ourselves. We need to call the name of the Lord. We need the Lord's help. The key is for us to realize that We cannot stay in the spiritual valley all the time. We should aspire to get on our feet. If we can't do it by ourselves, then we should call on the name of the Lord. The Lord will immediately reach out and help you. The author of Hebrews reminds us again and again, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus' great love has shown us that love resides on mountains and in rivers. The Lord is in heaven and on earth. Let's review the 40 points. Company, warmth, growth, perseverance. We thank the Lord Jesus for his great love. Dear Abba Father, we thank you. Thank you for reminding us through the author of Hebrews. You love us so much. Though we are living in a corrupt age, may you strengthen the faith of your children so that we will walk in the truth. Because you are the only way, truth, and life. We thank you for your grace. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it's time for our for offering. Is anyone who is the first time come to our visit our church? So we are I'm happy that every brother and sisters worship the Lord together with us. There are multiple ways that we can give our offering to the Lord. You can directly use the donation box in our church, or you can use the P.O. box to mail your check. And we also have online donation options. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship in your holy temple so that we can be, we can take part in your donation. Encourage us to not only donate our money and time, but our whole self will be used by you. Because we know that everything belongs that is from you. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.这是我们每月背诵经句的时候。这是我们这个月最后一次一起来背诵这一节经文，请我们大家一起站起来来背诵。让我们一起来读：神啊，求你为我造清洁的心，使我里面重新有正直的灵。这边让我们一起来背诵。好，让我们一起用中文来背诵。神啊，求你为我造清洁的心，使我里面重新有正直的灵。